new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's his new vision. This week's vision from Barack Obama. Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Joining me now, senior editorial writer of the Washington Times, Jim Robbins with the Robbins Report. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I had to play that little sound clip because I know that's part of one of your editorials this week, Obama Messiah. Prosperity is shared. That's the latest from this campaign and administration.
Well, you know, that message would be great if there was prosperity, but, you know, the fact is, I mean, he wants to redistribute wealth and cut it up and spread the money around and all that stuff, but the fact is, it's just not out there. His policies have not created enough growth to even be talking about stuff.
Yeah, and hope and change kind of went out the window, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we have no hope, and we're left with change. So
there you go. There you go. Yeah, he's been out. Obviously, he was in Chicago over the weekend. And one of the funniest things that I saw walking away from that story was he said America needs to be more like Chicago. And wait a minute. Doesn't Chicago have, like, they're on pace for 505 murders this year? Is that what I got?
Yeah, I know. When you consider all the problems that Chicago is facing right now, I mean, maybe that played well amongst the hometown crowd, but
yeah.
I think even they must have been wondering what the heck is he talking about.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now, one of the other pieces I saw you were involved in was Obama, let's take over every industry. How scary is that? The guy comes out and he touts the greatness of the Detroit bailout, but neglects to tell us that we still lost a boatload of money in that. But now he wants to involve himself and the administration in every industry.
Yeah, I mean, again, they had to explain back that comment of, you know, he did not to be taken literally when he says, let's do what we did for the, you know, the auto bailout for everybody. But, I mean, the fact is that for every job, American job that they saved, quote unquote, at GM, they spent about $780,000. And the stock that they invested in, which would, it would be like $58 to sell it back at a profit. That stock is now down around 20.
Yeah.
And the U.S. government holds like half a billion shares or something. It's something crazy. So, you know, it was really a big money loser. I mean, he wants to go laud it as this great accomplishment, but it wasn't really.
You know, it's very interesting. Now, over the years, I was thinking back because, and I'm older than you, so I remember some brand names of automobiles that are no longer around anymore. But, you know, there have been failures in the auto industry over the years, and normally someone else picks up the slack and they keep going with it. And I would assume even with a large corporation like General Motors, the same thing would have happened.
You would think so, and I think the salient comparison is Ford Motor Company, which chose not to take the buyout offer and, you know, have cronies appointed to its board. And Ford was just zooming right along. They've done very well since the contraction in 2008. They haven't gone out of business. They didn't take the federal dime, and they were outselling GM for a while, so you know, the free enterprise can work.
Yep. One of the other things I noticed you were writing about was the fact that Obama made the remark about Michelle Obama not getting paid. Was he joking around or was he sort of half serious when he said it?
It's hard to say. I think he was kind of joking, but he was trying to make a point about equal pay for equal work and saying she has a tough job. So, I mean, it was just worth pointing out the fact that, you know, she lives rent-free in the most exclusive address in the world, that she has maids and chefs and, you know, personal attendees around her 24 hours a day. She has a staff of 20. She can go on multi-million dollar vacations at the drop of a hat, courtesy of the U.S. Air Force, you know, anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I really don't think she's the emblem of the suffering working woman.
No kidding. All right, I want to turn your attention to Paul Ryan, the big story of this week. First things first, I guess, you know, were you surprised by the selection of Paul Ryan?
I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, obviously, it could have been, he could have gone in several directions, but I mean, that was one of the directions, and I thought it was a really good choice. He brings a certain vitality to the ticket, fiscal responsibility, which is what people are really focused on these days. You know, he's a good-looking guy. I know that you had some liberal Democratic women saying, oh, this isn't going to help with the women's vote. But, you know, charisma is important in politics. And
sure.
They said that about Barack Obama in 2008, that he was, you know, young and good-looking and fit and so forth. Of course, now he's looking a little gray and tired. So you know, it can go on either side.
Yeah. Now, we all know that he's a fiscal conservative, and this budget work that he's done has been phenomenal, at least if you lean to the right. How does he stack up on other things, though, like national security and foreign policy? Any idea?
I don't really have a deep knowledge of that, and I have to say, even though I'm a foreign policy guy, I don't think that that's important. This election is going to be about the economy, it's about jobs, it's about the federal debt. I can tell you from experience that when I write an editorial on Afghanistan, people just tune out. They really don't read it. Folks are very much focused on what's happening domestically, so if he doesn't have foreign policy credentials, I don't think that's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard the story, but evidently there was a Russian submarine that's been kind of in the Gulf of Mexico, and we didn't really find out about it until after it left. Does that concern you at all?
Well, it's just a reminder that the world is still out there, that it's not just threats that you can deal with a drone pressing a button, you know, that there are actual major threats out there. Maybe this didn't get the administration's attention, but I keep waiting for the Chinese aircraft carrier to come cruising into, you know, port of call in Cuba.
Yeah.
That'll wake them up.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. Well, you know, and there was another security breach, if you want to call it. Now, in this case, maybe not, you know, with the submarine. Maybe it was just something. Maybe that's an oversight. But anyway, we get this guy walking across the tarmac at JFK. I don't know if you caught this. The jet skier. His jet ski broke down, and he decided, well, I'll go ahead and swim ashore, and he ends up on JFK airport property, climbs a fence, walks across two runways through a busy intersection on one of those runways. This happened on Friday night, and he made it all the way up to the terminal, and the kicker is that he got through a $100 million state-of-the-art perimeter surveillance system. How is that investment working for our benefit?
That's a great point. You know, I feel sorry for the guy because they wound up arresting him for criminal trespass. You know, he's pointing out a flaw in the system. They should give the guy a medal.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, let's see. What else is on the list here? I got all kinds of stuff today. The tanker and the Navy destroyer colliding in the Strait of Hormuz. And this, to me, is baffling. You know, I mean, I can see 1912 Titanic running into an iceberg, but in this day and age, two ships like that colliding?
Well, you know, stuff happens. Hormuz Strait is a pretty narrow channel. Maybe, you know, I haven't heard the exact facts on who was doing what to whom or whose fault it was, but you know, again, the world is still out there. Things happen. It's just a good thing that this didn't develop into a worse crisis, or if our guys saw a ship coming, that they didn't open fire at them.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, my friend, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, Jim. Have a good week.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
Take care. Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer for the Washington Times with the Robbins Report, heard every Tuesday afternoon. It's 3:57.